Good morning, St. Paul. Won't you join me in worship? We're going to sing "Here for You." Let our praise be a welcome. Let our songs be a sign. We are here for you. We are here for you. Let your breath come from heaven. Fill our hearts with your life. We are here for you. We are here for you. To you our hearts are open. Nothing here is hidden. You are one desire. You alone are holy. Only you are worthy. God, let your fire fall down. Let it fall.
Tower, your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nation sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save but your name.
and sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save me. Is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nation sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save.
Nothing has the power. But your name is a strong and mighty tower.
Nothing has the power to save, but your name.
Jesus, we know that you are the name above all names. You are the author, perfecter, and finisher of our faith. You are the cornerstone. We love you, Lord. Help me in worshiping the Lord, singing Cornerstone.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name.
Let's sing that again.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak and strong, in the Savior's love, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone. Faultless we stand before the throne.
That's right.
Faultless we stand before the throne. Yeah, yeah. Christ alone.
Good morning, St. Paul Westport. It's so good to see all of you. At this time, we'll have kids' church, so you can go ahead and go back to the fellowship hall, and we'll go back into worship.
I'm finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. I'm finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise, and all that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet, hear your voice. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak.
We're going to go into a time of prayer this morning, and we're going to pray several things real quick. We're going to, I want to acknowledge a longtime member of St. Paul Westport passed away yesterday. Her name is Connie Lawrence. She's been up in Redding at Meadow Ridge, and yesterday the Lord called her home. We stand in like ultimate confidence of her walk with the Lord, and it's a celebration for her. Today. It's the best Sunday morning of her life, so, which is awesome. And then we pray for Ryan Healy. We continue to pray for him. If you saw our emails this week, it just feels like, what happened? What happened is they've been treating his liver. He's absolutely been improving on, and it's remarkable. But the back, the spine is breastbone with a little hole in it as well. Now it's time to address that, and that's actually going to happen through surgery this Friday, so we pray for Ryan. And then Bob Sanger, our director, former director of St. Paul Christian School. Bob is a great, great man, but just diagnosed. He finally just, like, for the third time, he really, really retired just recently. But he's diagnosed with stage 4. And so we're going to pray for Bob as well. So let's do that. God, you're faithful. And Lord, even when there are hardships in this world, it's times turn dark or gray so often. And Lord, we look to you for our hope. God. There are days of celebration, there are days of mourning, but there's something that remains steady through it all, and that's our King Jesus. And Lord, we glorify you today, Lord. And as we pray for our loved ones, God, we do this with absolute faith in you, a trust that says you love each of these people even more than what we can fathom. And so we bless you today. God, we thank you for the life of Connie, and Lord, left a legacy, especially in the Christian counseling realm around this area, God. We thank you for calling her to be with you, God, giving her the greatest gift she's ever received, Lord. We thank you for that. Would you bless her family, though, her friends who grieve, Lord. I think of her daughters right now, and we ask you, Lord, for your peace that would fill each of their hearts and minds, God. And Jesus, we pray for Ryan, and to even begin this prayer, we start with gratitude, Lord. Thank you for how much you've done in him so far. And we know there's more, but God, you know there's more. And so, Lord, we acknowledge your work is powerful, and it's filled with love. And God, we thank you for the healing in him, and we pray more. God, would you bless this surgery on Friday, that Father, the entire team, medical team, would just be under your influence, God. They would be amazed at how this could go. So Jesus, put your hand on Ryan, encourage him, Greg and Bridget, Claire and Connor, God, that this family would just be uplifted in your presence. And Jesus, we pray for Bob Sanger, we pray for his wife, Jane, and we pray for them, that God, you would touch his body as well. Lord, bring him comfort, bring him healing from this. Jesus, we put our trust in, I'm so thankful for Bob and just the man of God that he is. And Lord, bless this family, strengthen them in you. And Lord, Jesus, you died to set us free, and you died to save us, body, soul, spirit, and we pray that over him now. And God, as we continue to meet and we look at your word today, God, we want to have a mind that thinks your thoughts and a mind that sees you accurately. We want to have a heart that would be soft and not walled up and hardened on the outside and tender on the inside. Lord, we want to be like Christ. And so Jesus, reveal yourself to us in your word today. We pray, Holy Spirit, come, give us understanding to what you're saying. We love you, Lord. We thank you so much for your faithfulness. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You guys can have a seat. So, thank you, worship team. You know, it's pretty awesome when I can pray. I realized this when I was saying it. Like, essentially, in other words, I was saying, Lord, if I really mess up the teaching today, Holy Spirit, come fix it for me. Who else gets to have somebody fix it in their job? So we'll see how it goes. So we're in the Being Challenge, a 40-day challenge that we're reading a few pages every day in our Being Challenge book, and just wanting to have a really good relationship with Jesus. That's what this is about. And so today we're going to talk about Scripture. And I heard a Wayne Cordero do a teaching. And so he's a pastor in Honolulu. Sounds like a pretty sweet assignment. But he's been to China a number of times. And he was telling a story when he was in the Hunan province in China. This is a few years back. And so he actually skipped over some of this part, but we, Andrew and I, we have a good friend of ours, a mentor to me, who's been to China and talks about like when you meet in the underground church. So the church, they have a church, they have a government sanctioned church, which is very legal. They welcome people to be in it, but it's a government, it's not a Jesus place, right? And so they have the underground church where the Spirit of God is alive, revival is throughout this thing, but it's very illegal there. And so when you show up, you're there to go to the underground church, they lead you at night like in and out of houses and alleyways and like in one door, out a back door, like, and you're just trying to shake a potential tail from the communist government, and so that would want to shut this down and find everybody. And so when Cordero got there and he began his teaching, he said, what would happen if they caught us? And he was serious, and they said, well, you'd get deported, we'd get 3 years in jail. And he said, well, how many of you have been to prison on behalf of your faith? And there were 22 of them. There were 22 leaders in the Hunan province. And of the 22, 18 of them raised their hands. He's like, that's a lot. Just because of your faith, you've been arrested. And he said, how many people do you even represent? I just want to know what I'm dealing with. And they added some numbers and they said 20 million. Which is incredible. In one province, 20 million of the underground church. There, at the time, there's now about 1.5 billion. There's 1.3 billion people in China. And so they had 20 million in that province, though, in the underground church that they were leaders for. And so anyway, as he's doing this, he brought 15 Bibles, and he's handing out the Bibles. And there's 22 of them, 15 Bibles. Do the math, right? And he noticed when he said, all right, we're gonna read 1 Peter together, he noticed one of the women handed her Bible to somebody who didn't have one. And he didn't think a lot of it until as they're reading, he realized she like knows it. She has it memorized. Like she knew all of chapter one. And then she knew the whole thing. And he was kind of impressed keeping it to himself. And during a break, he went and he talked to her and he said, it seems like you might have 1 Peter memorized. And she said, I do. I have most of the Bible memorized. And he's like, where did you do this? And she said, in prison. And so it went to another question. He's like, well, so you can have a Bible in prison. And she's like, until they take it away. If they find it, they take it away. But we also have like pieces of paper, like just loose, you know, paper leaves and where we write scriptures on and we hand those around too. And then they take those away too if they find them or when they find them. But she said, this is the thing, we learn to memorize really fast because they're gonna take it away. And she said, even though they can take our papers away, they can't take away what's hidden in our hearts. And then he went on to contrast it with the church in America today and his conversations with them. But I've heard that story a couple times from him, and I just think about how scripture is treasured. It's like the underground church in China, they know what a treasure the Word of God is. And everything's at risk to study it. Everything's at risk to meet, just to meet with other believers, to meet to actually study the word, to have it, if you get caught with it. And it's, they treasure it in such a way. And I think it's so healthy. Back in the summer on the Friday email, I should go back to doing this, like once a month. I want to just send out book recommendations every once in a while. But we put one out in the Friday email called The Heavenly Man. Has anyone ever read that here? The first service, there were a few, yeah. Incredible, it's a story. You should write this down, honestly. Go buy the book, it's called The Heavenly Man. It's about a Christian named Brother Young who you cannot imagine the tortures he went through for his faith. It's a story I honestly think every American Christian should read. Absolutely incredible. But we're in the being challenge, and this is all about having a healthy relationship with Jesus, the five keystone habits, and we should have just finished our readings on the first one yesterday called Commit to Community, and now today we start a new 7-day push for the second habit, and that is studying Scripture. And so Scripture is so important. We see Scripture as our absolute truth in this world, unshakable. It's hard to know what else is true. There's such an attack on truth today. I remember as a kid, like before sports practices and all that, which we didn't have club sports. So as a kid, a normal kid, we would start working on dinner about 5:30. And we would turn on the world news at 5:30, and then local news came on at 6. And I was always fascinated with the world news, and a guy named Dan Rather, who I think lived right up the road here, would talk to me. And it was occasionally we cheated on him and went to Tom Brokaw, right? But most of the time it was Dan Rather in our house. And we would watch him, and never in my wildest dreams did I ever think it was anything but truth. It was as good as, like, he's reporting the facts. And I knew that I knew, like, it never even occurred to me, no. And there were things we'd grieve, things we'd celebrate. Most of it's grieve, because most of the, right? And it was just incredible, like, times, and we'd get dinner. It was great. I mean, this was like a regular thing. And years later, you come to find out integrity is defined differently in different places and with different people. And it's like you find out maybe not everything I heard back then was true. And we worry about that today. It doesn't matter. I mean, multiple agendas influence the way we hear things, right? It's not like it's all one-sided. It's like, what is true? We're always looking, we want to know what's really happening in this world. Don't you just want to know the truth, and not just some painted, you know, this network's going to overlook this whole subject and that person, and this one might overlook this, and they're going to present one way. Don't you just wish you could just have the facts? Like, we want truth. But truth is being painted today. I think truth is under attack in a major way in our country. And it's like we frame truth to be more about what we want to hear. And Paul warned this to Timothy. Man, people are gonna hear what their itching ears wanna hear. They're gonna crave one thing, and we start to believe that, well, if I have this set of beliefs, truth can look like this. And if I have this set, truth can look like this. I want a table right here, a little table, so I can put my water on, because I don't know why I brought it up today. In fact, I want that table so bad, I believe it there. I believe it's here. I believe if I really think it's here, it's gonna be here. Does that make sense? All right, I'm gonna set it down. Except it didn't work. But I don't understand. See, truth is still truth. There is an absolute truth in this world. And even if I believe something that's contrary to truth is true, it's not true. Even if I believe the table was here to catch my water, even if I really believed it, it's only going to be there if it's truly there. So when we study the Word of God, we want to judge everything in our life according to it. We want to hold up Scripture as this absolute truth and realize that of all the, you know, we have two ears, we have eyes, we hear, we see, and everything else, we want to filter it through the Word of God because we know we can trust Scripture. And so we're going to talk about studying Scripture today. I want to just go through four reasons or four benefits of studying Scripture. And the first one is this. Studying Scripture shows us God. It shows us the author. We read Scripture not just to know the words, but we want to know God. We want to know the author. Have you ever read, maybe some of you have written them, but have you ever read like old love letters between a couple? And I'm in a book that's bigger than I can handle. It'll take me a year, honestly, but I'll read things in between it. But it's incredible. And there are letters between husbands and wives and like some courtship. It's a pretty minor part of the book, but it's like, wow, that's how they communicated with each other. And Andrea and I, when we met, she was in Little Rock, I was in St. Louis. That's a 5.5-hour drive, and I'm we didn't have video chat then. So we emailed each other and we got to know each other. And here's the thing about when a couple writes love letters, right? There's a difference between romance and love. And so romance is you can like woo somebody, right? You can write these amazing compliments and flatter another person. And they feel great and it's amazing. That's romance. Love is when you get to know somebody's character and you say, I really am attracted to this character. I'm attracted to this personality. That's what love is. There's a place for romance. There's a place for love. And with Scripture, if we read Scripture only just trying to get like a little bit of encouragement, I just need some encouragement. I'll read a verse in the Bible. You know, that's nice, but we're missing out on so much more. We're missing out on love. Like when we read Scripture, we want to know the author. We want to know him well. We want to go deep with him and have an understanding. And the question comes up oftentimes like, well, isn't the Bible like, how do you know it's true? Couldn't somebody have just like lied, right? You've heard that surely. And here's the reality. Let's be real honest about this. One person could totally lie and get away with it. It's possible. I think it's hard, but for such a big lie, I think it's hard, okay? And you got to admit, the Bible is the most, it's been under the most criticism of, you know, source criticism, like of every angle of looking at it, more than any other book or any other work in the entire world. That's the Bible, okay? One person might be able to get away with deceiving people. But what about two? And I don't know. I wouldn't call it impossible, but it's pretty much impossible that two people could work together, keep their lies straight, and make it work. But with Scripture, 40 different authors over a 1,500-year period put this together, and we understand it to be inspired by God. He's the ultimate of all authors for it. And in that, as he authors it, and he has 40 different people, that I would say is impossible. That 40 people against all this skepticism, all the critics who are trying to catch it in air, we're not that good. We're just not. I don't even think two of us could do it. I'm not even sure one of us, but not 40. It's not possible. And so we look at Scripture and we value it as truth and we value it as knowing God. This is who our God is. It shows us God. Here's another way it shows us God. I want you to turn your Bibles to John 14. This is the chapter, John 14, 6. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We love that verse. Two verses after that is verse 8. And so I want us to look at this. This is the upper room. It's Maundy Thursday, okay? And they know something's going down. Philip, we don't ever talk about Philip, do we? Well, today it's Philip's turn. This is John 14, 8. Philip said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and that's enough for us. Meaning, Jesus, just show us God. That's all we need. Show us God. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and still you don't know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me? The words that I say to you, I don't speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. And you know what he's saying? Is that because Philip's looking at Jesus and he says, we just want to see God. I mean, we want to see God, right? And Jesus says, well, when you're looking at me, you're seeing God. And this is what Scripture does. It shows us God. Scripture's obsessed with the Messiah, Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Scripture shows us God. When we set ourselves to study Scripture, we're seeing God, we're seeing the author. The second blessing of this is studying Scripture reveals the gospel of Jesus. And there's nothing sweeter. The whole idea of the good news of Jesus is that we were living life, humanity, we were living and doing our thing, and honestly, we were buried. We had no way to truly be confident in our lives and in our salvation process and plan. This is, and humanity was sentenced to this. It was insecure, spiritually insecure, worrying all the time, trying to prove through good works and yet never knowing what was enough, trying to keep these sacrifices, this whole system in place, and it was a struggle, and men and women and boys and girls were all falling. It was all a sinful life. And God said, stop. I got this. You guys have no hope. You have no peace. And so God jumped down onto earth. He came in the form of humanity. And he walked on this earth. This is Jesus. And he lived perfectly. The one person, human, who never should have been subject to death, died willingly so that we don't have to die and be separated from God. This is the gospel. It's God loves you. And that he doesn't just want you saved. It's bigger than that. He wants to know you. He wants you to know him. He wants a really healthy relationship with you. He wants you to be confident in his salvation plan for your life. That's the gospel. And so we read Scripture and it reveals the gospel. We call Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we call them the gospels. They are. They're about Jesus' earthly life. Totally fits, totally great. But all of Scripture points to the gospel. The entirety. It points to the cross. In fact, when you read the Old Testament, it points forward to the cross. When you're in the when you're in the gospels, it's like in the moment of the cross. When you're reading the works, we call them the epistles, the letters, the book, they're all pointing back to the cross, and they're pointing forward, like Revelation, to the return of Christ. It's this whole salvation story. It's all about the gospel. And this is what it shows us. Paul wrote a chapter in 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to look at a couple of these verses. And this chapter, the church in Corinth, like they're just like, how does this work? And what about our bodies? And this is a chapter. It's about the return. It's about the resurrection of the dead. And so Paul, I want to just read like three of these verses. 1 Corinthians 15, 3. Paul wrote, remember, this is about reveals the gospel. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. Paul's saying, hey, I gave you, Church of Corinth, he's writing this letter, I gave you the most important thing I have, and it's something I was given. That Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, to the 12, and then he goes on to the 500, the apostles, and finally to me. And you get it. The gospel has always been in the Scriptures. He died in accordance with the Scriptures, meaning this was the plan all along. It was prophesied. Jesus fulfilled it. Then he was buried, and then he was raised from the dead in accordance with the Scriptures. All of Scripture reveals the gospel of Jesus, that this saves us. This is good. We could stop right there and have really compelling reasons to study Scripture, because it shows us God. It reveals the gospel. Two more. Probably 100 more. I'm giving you 4 today. Third one is studying Scripture releases our purpose. We all want to know our purpose in life so badly, and it's got to be bigger. It's got to be more than just being the best in my field or being the best mother I could ever be, or be like, there has to be something more. And it's not complex at all. And so we're gonna look at Exodus 9. We're gonna look at one verse actually. So, but this is what God says to Moses. Okay, he says this: "For this purpose, I have raised you up to show you my power, so that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth." He told Moses, "For this purpose, I've raised you up. I'm going to show you my power, and then you're going to make my name great in all the earth." The context that he said that for was in the middle of the plagues, and I think this one was the plague of hail. You ever been in a hailstorm? Those are nasty, aren't they? And so this was probably the worst hailstorm in history, and God spoke this to Moses. This, not to ever pull scripture out of context, but this works as very much a universal truth for followers of Jesus. This is your purpose, that God would show his church, those who he saved, he would show him his power, that we would make his name great in all the earth. That's your purpose. And if you've ever wondered, like, there's got to be more in my life, I'm missing something, sometimes it's the very first thing. It's the purpose that we have. And this, I mean, we have free will. It's, I guess it's optional, isn't it? It's, we can, and most followers of Christ don't do this. Don't proclaim his name in all the earth. But that doesn't give us an excuse not to. Like, this is what God's called us to. And just think about that. He's done this great work. He's shown us his power. This church has seen miracles. I don't know how many, a lot. A lot of miracles over the last couple decades. It's incredible. It's a testimony of our God. Do you know the greatest of all those miracles, though? I mean, cancer's been defeated. It's currently being defeated. I mean, I don't know. There have been great miracles, but do you know the greatest of all of them is salvation. Absolutely. It's still the best. It's still the longest lasting. It's when God saves a soul. It's something we can't do. We depend on him. He did it. And so each of us has that. At the very, very least, we have that, the greatest miracle. And we're called to make his name great in all the earth. This is what he calls us to. We're to be in partnership with God. That's our purpose. He shows us his power. We tell people. Simple, right? But we see that. It's revealed to us in Scripture. Our purpose. And then finally, the last one we're going to talk about today. Studying Scripture strengthens our relationship with Jesus. And that's what this whole being challenge is about. We want to have a really healthy relationship with Jesus. That's what it's about. Studying Scripture totally does that. There is a tried and true blueprint for having a great relationship with Jesus. It's in Scripture. It's been done throughout the ages, the last 2,000 years. It's called Word and Prayer. We will do all sorts of extra things, right? We will listen to a list of podcasts, we'll search for new worship music, we'll look for a new Bible study to join. I mean, we will go to lengths of all good things, and these are good things, every one of them. But to simplify, how do we have a healthy relationship with Jesus? Well, if you really ultimately simplify, it's word and prayer. Next week, Belise is going to teach on prayer, but it's word and prayer. This is what it is. So here's how it works. Could you see, if you have one without the other, you're missing out on something. Okay? You need both. Could you imagine a couple that's, say they're dating. They're not married. They're dating. They've been dating for about a year. So you think a year in, they're kind of serious, right? Except this couple has never talked about the past with each other. And they've never talked about their future dreams and hopes and goals. But they get together every week and they do fun things together. They live in the moment. They're having the time of their life. It's extremely exciting. They love these times. But a year in, they wouldn't know each other. They would have all these shared experiences, but they still don't know each other because they haven't studied each other in depth. See, if you have a prayer life that lacks study of the Word, you have great in-the-moment experiences with God, incredible in-the-moment experiences, but you're missing the substance. You're missing the depth of knowledge of who God is. Vice versa, if you only study Scripture and you don't spend time in prayer with God, you have this academic, logical, and completely separated from emotion. I mean, it's just a completely irrelational, almost trivia mindset of God. It comes down to word and prayer. Acts, I don't remember now, maybe Acts 6? Is that where I shouldn't have? I hate when I start saying Scripture and then I haven't thought to look it up and then I don't know if I'm right, but somewhere in Acts, early Acts, where the apostles, they set themselves, this might be Acts 3 actually, they set themselves to the study of word and prayer, 6 of Stephen, so yeah. But I will say this, we want to guard our hearts also when we study Scripture. I think this is important. When we have an attitude that says, I love you, Jesus, I want to know you, that's great. I've also been in a part where my years in seminary, I had a six-month assignment where I did a prison ministry. And this was in Clayton, and there's like a juvenile, I don't know, just detention center there. And they weren't hardened criminals by any means, but they were a bunch of young men. And the very first time, I'd go once a week, the very first time I went, I can't call him a mentor. He did no mentoring. He was a scheduler. And he walked in there with me and showed me around for 5 minutes and left. And then I never saw him again. So, but he took me in and he showed me the room. You know, you go into the pod and there's tons of men. And over there is a room, and it's a decent sized room, and we could get about 30 guys sitting in a circle together in chairs facing each other. But he told me, you're going to want to sit in around that chair because there's a button there. That's your security button, like if things get heated. And I'm like, this is a Bible study. Do things get heated? I'm like, come on. And so anyway, so he left, and I announced I'm doing a Bible study, and probably had 30-some guys come in, and we sat down. I was prepared. I was ready. It was the last time I went ready because it didn't matter what I had planned. They had their own agenda. So they come in with Bibles. And I will say, half of them were really honoring and respectful and amazing. And half of those half were passionate about the Word of God. Half weren't very respectful, but there were probably 10 of these 30 that they might have had the Scripture memorized. It was almost like the Chinese prison, okay? But they had their worn-out Bibles and would get in each other's faces, yelling and screaming and pointing and flipping to the next chapter and showing where this is. It didn't matter the topic. They came to do battle. And my poor brain, I'd never seen that. I thought seminary was bad, but this was a whole different level of argument, and it blew my mind. And because they had such knowledge of the Word of God, and yet the fruit of the Spirit was missing completely. And so I say that to say, hey, when we study Scripture, there's all these advantages for us. It helps us know God in immense ways, in depth. But we don't want to do it to win Bible trivia games. We want to do it to know the author, to be assured of our salvation, to know the gospel. We want to be absolutely clear on what our purpose is. We want to have a good relationship with Jesus. That's what we're here for. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you've given us courage. You've given us hope. You've given us the word. God, I'm so thankful that the word is in print. I mean, we take that for granted here and that we have access to it. God, we pray that our hearts would treasure your word. Would if it ever came to, or when it ever comes to, risking our livelihood, risking our lives for your word. God, your word is worth more than anything else we own, anything else we have here. We want to know you. We want to know the truth. God, I pray that these 7 days of intense, more intense study on just the habit of studying scripture, God, turn our hearts to be after yours. We bless you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. This time we're going to receive our offerings. No, we're not. We're going to receive the Lord's Supper. Is that the second week in a row I've done that? So we're going to receive the Lord's Supper. So if you need the elements, you can run and grab them. But let's stand. Let's sing the doxology together. Let's pray together. God, we come before you today, Lord willing, to just be exposed before you. God, we want forgiveness of our sins, the assurance of our salvation in Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we confess our sin. We acknowledge that we've fallen so short. It's not even close. Short. We've fallen valleys behind your standard. God, we've sinned in thought, word, deed. We've every one of those commandments we've broken. God, we confess to you and ask you for mercy. We ask you for the forgiveness of our sins, that the blood of Jesus would wash us and cleanse us. God, we thank you so much for loving us, receiving us, forgiving us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When you confess your sins, God is so faithful, and he confesses your sins, or he forgives you of your sins. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen. I thought that was such an appropriate, I was so distracted in that prayer. I'm like, those footsteps, that's like the eagerness, the joy, that Christ gives us. There's full freedom. Run ahead. I love that. So, on the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took the loaf and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples. He said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." We take and we eat. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks. gave it to his disciples and said, take and drink. This cup is a new covenant in my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. We take and we drink. May this gift of the body and blood of Christ give you strength, give you endurance to life everlasting. Amen. All right, let's continue our worship.
Of water, earth, and sky. The heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord on high. God of wonders beyond our galaxy. You are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy. Morning, I will celebrate the light. If I stumble in the darkness, I will call your name by night. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy, Lord of heaven and earth, Lord of heaven and earth.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Our galaxy, you are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy. God of wonders beyond our galaxy. You are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank you for worshiping today and joining us and just doing life together. So a couple announcements. So if you for your tithes, if you brought a check, you can certainly put that in a basket. You can also go online. We're just not receiving offerings in person right now, like through passing of things everybody touches. So that's what's going on there. Youth group, we have youth group tonight at 5 o'clock right here. Excited to for the youth. Also, Wednesday night prayers this week. It's the first of the month, so we pray for revival. Prayers just, it's been so... well, God's with us, so it's pretty cool, yeah. And finally, the last announcement is just the mission of the month. It's Bridgeport Rescue Mission. We love the mission and what they're doing, and we pray, we support this mission. It's the demand for help from them is peaked, and so we acknowledge them, but we love them, we pray for them, we support them. So may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. May he work in you what's pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Y'all have a great Sunday.